Good morning and welcome to our August Spiritual Outreach Call. This is Ray LaRose. I'm the Assistant Executive Director in the New York Office of the Association, and it is my privilege to introduce Monsignor Sylvester Cronin, who will be talking to us this morning about the Feast of the Assumption. Monsignor Cronin was born and raised in West Orange, New Jersey. He attended Our Lady of Lourdes Elementary School and graduated from Immaculate Conception High School in Montclair, hence his connection to the Blessed Mother. After 2 years at Montclair State, he enrolled in Don Bosco College Seminary in Newton, New Jersey, and earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in philosophy and a secondary school teacher certificate in English and history. He then enrolled in Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland, where he earned a Master of Divinity degree. In May of 1988, Monsignor Cronin was ordained to the priesthood in the Cathedral of St. Francis of Assisi in Metuchen, New Jersey. He served in a number of parish assignments, and on the Feast of Our Lady of Palermo in 2011, he was named a chaplain to His Holiness Pope Benedict XVI with the title Reverend Monsignor. In 2002, Monsignor Cronin was invited to become the Associate Director of the Diocesan Office of Stewardship. In 2003, he became director, and in 2007, he accepted the position of executive director of the new Department of Stewardship and Development for the Diocese of Metuchen, which became a full-time job. In addition to his work at parishes and the diocese, Monsignor Cronin served as a chaplain for the Middlesex County Sarah Club and as a board member of the Child Assault Prevention in Middlesex County and the dean of the Cathedral Deanery. Monsignor was also a member of the Diaconate Review Board from 2000 to 2006, and he has been a member of the New Jersey Catholic Conference Public Policy Committee since 1999. Monsignor Cronin was named a deputy chaplain of the association in 2009 and currently serves as a magistral chaplain in the Diocese of Metuchen. He has been pastor of St. James Church in Basking Ridge, New Jersey, since All Saints Day in 2014. We welcome Monsignor Cronin to speak to us today about the Assumption of the Blessed Mother. Good morning, Monsignor, and thank you for speaking to us today.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for giving me the honor to be able to speak about the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin. Let's begin. It says, what's the Assumption? Well, the Assumption is a dogma. The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary is a dogma which was declared by Pope Pius XII in 1950 after many, many, many years of debate among theologians, because although it's not explicitly laid out in sacred scripture that Mary was assumed into heaven, there are scriptural references from first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, the seed of the woman will crush Satan, the Psalm 132 in the Hebrew scriptures, the ark of God's arising, and Revelation 12, the woman clothed in the sun. So for the Roman Catholics and Eastern Rite and the Latin Rite, this is a very important day for us because it reveals to us one major aspect of which we know and believe in our faith, that there is an afterlife, that Mary was taken up into heaven bodily. So these bodies, which, you know, are the temples of the soul, will be resurrected. So all Mary did her assumption, Mary has already done what was going to happen to us. We will be raised on the last day. Our bodies will come out of the tomb, or if we have been cremated, we will have a glorified body. And we will rise from the tomb, and our souls and our bodies will reunite. We believe this. This has been taught for centuries and centuries for our belief in the church. Now, there's many people in 21st century America and around the world that don't believe there's anything beyond the solar system, you know, the universe and so forth. But we do. We believe that's what we have. That's why we have Holy Mass. We celebrate Holy Mass and have intentions for people who have died, so that they will enter into heaven. Now, the Blessed Mother, as you know, never had original sin on her soul. She was the only one blessed by this wonderful event. So Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, didn't either. He was God, of course. But as for a human being, Mary did not have original sin on her soul, which then follows very clearly that Mary would not experience personal sin nor death. And that's original sin. Now we do, because we're humans, and we've been washed clean of the original sin in our baptism, but the residual effects of original sin are personal sin and death. Well, Mary did not experience that. However, there's a lot of theological debate about original about the assumption of the Blessed Mother. And just for the word, I hope I'm going to say it correctly, what Pius the 12th in 1950 wrote in his encyclical, Most Bountiful God, Munificentissimus Deus. I hope I said that correct. Most Bountiful God. So the generosity of God. It never defined clearly in Pope Pius the 12th's encyclical that Mary actually died prior to her assumption into heaven. And the Eastern Rites call this the dormition of Mary, okay? The Eastern Rite, or the Orthodox part of, you know, the Orthodox Christians, they believe that she did die, her soul was received by God, and then 3 days later, she was assumed into heaven, just like her son Jesus. That's what the Orthodox believe. We believe, and they call that the dormition of Mary. For Pius the 12th, he did not explicitly say that she died or that first and then assumed into heaven. So we believe in the, when her, Mary's life, her earthly sojourn was over, her body and soul was assumed into heaven and went up and left the solar system, left the gravity of the planet Earth, just like her son did, our Savior. He left the gravity of the planet Earth. And we have that recorded in sacred scripture, most especially in Matthew 28, where Jesus' feet left the ground and went up into heaven. And the apostles are gazing upward and are being asked, you know, what are you looking for? He who went up will come back down. So this defies science. Mary's body and soul went up. But we are, the same thing's going to happen to us on the last day. Our bodies will be raised from the tomb. So Mary's tomb is empty. So she had a bodily resurrection. Now, that means that the physical body is not in the sarcophagus or the casket in Jerusalem and or Ephesus. There's a debate on whether she assumed it to happen from Ephesus or Jerusalem. And so there is a place, okay, that has been prepared for us, including the Blessed Mother, from the beginning of time. And we hear that in John's Gospel when Jesus remonstrates with St. Thomas. I use that Gospel many times during my funeral masses here at St. James. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to that place and bring you to the place that's prepared for you from the beginning of time. And St. Thomas then says, I don't know what you're talking about. That's the Jersey version. That's the New Jersey version of the scriptures. Thomas says, I do not know where you are going. How can I know the way? And Jesus responds, I am the way and the truth and the life. He who comes to me. He who comes to the Father goes through me. So, it is clear that there is a place beyond the planet Earth and the solar system. And for the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, that Mary, who did not know sin, her body was not going to decay into the ground, that she was going to have the honor of being the first human to be assumed into heaven, to be brought into heaven, body and soul. Now, the celebration, the belief, the teachings, this goes back to the 4th century about the Blessed Mother. That's how important this has been. Epiphanius of Salamis spoke about Revelation 12, woman clothed in the sun. And by the year 600 AD, we have clearly festivals within the church in regard to Mary's assumption into heaven. That's how important this is. And it took until 1950 for Holy Mother Church to declare this as a dogma of our faith. This is not something taken lightly. This is something very, very serious. And when Pius XII revealed this, don't forget 1950 was right after World War II, when there was such troubles in Europe and in America and so forth, and around the world to try to, rebuild our lives after the terrible World War II, that revealing Mary after all these years as a dogma of the church, that she, her body and soul, went to the place prepared for us from the beginning of time, as Jesus promised St. Thomas. Now, mentioning St. Thomas, there's some great stories about St. Thomas, our doubting Thomas, as we know. The Bishop of Jerusalem at the Council of Chalcedon in 451 made known to the Emperor Martian, who wished to possess the body of the Mother of God, that Mary died in the presence of all the apostles, but that her tomb, when opened upon the request of St. Thomas, was found empty, wherefrom the apostles concluded that the body was taken up into heaven. Now, there's another place that said that Thomas was not present at the opening of the tomb and saw that it was empty, but that Mary let down her sash, and it came upon St. Thomas. So that Mary died in the presence of the apostles, but that her tomb, when opened upon the request, was found empty, whereupon the apostle concluded, and having this vision of the mantle or the sash coming down and given to St. Thomas. So this assumption is really beautiful and deep theologically, how Mary, chosen among women now, is given the honor and the privilege of being the first, as I said, first human being to be risen from the tomb and brought into heaven. So, what does that do for us? Well, hopefully in 21st century America and around the world, that people who deny the existence of God or do not believe that there's anything beyond the world may give people hope. This feast day, this solemnity, this solemn feast day, this wonderful day celebrating the Blessed Mother, is a feast of hope. There is a life beyond this world. And how many people today are committing suicide and doing drugs and have no hope in their lives because they don't believe there's anything beyond this world. And yet we as followers of God and followers of Jesus do know that now, clearly revealed to us by this wonderful feast, that we don't have to despair, that there is something beyond the earth, and that God is with us, and he will not abandon us, and he will raise us from our tombs, from our caskets, from our columbariums on the last day, to be with him in glory, and to be with the Blessed Mother, Jesus, and all the saints in heaven. That's what we're striving to be here right now. So that's the first. So what is the benefit of the assumption? So we have to let everybody know what the assumption is in order to give hope to people on the earth, especially during this pandemic as well. So there is an eternal life. There is a life beyond. The second, the generosity of God, the bountifulness of God. Look how generous God is to us. Through our lives, and at the end, he's going to take us all with him up into the clouds. Now, we have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There's no doubt about that. And we all have to make a statement about who we are and what we've done to Christ. And he's going to be our judge. But remember, God, Jesus is all powerful, all knowing, and all loving. And that's why we definitely have the Sacrament of Reconciliation. So this feast also shows us the bountifulness of God, the generosity of God. Look what he did for the woman who was chosen among women to bring forth our Messiah. He's going to do the same for us. So all Mary's done is she just did it first. She was the first, as I said. She was the first human that was brought into heaven. So then the third. Everybody, when we go to funeral masses, when we go to funerals, when our loved ones die, friends and family, we are sad. There's no doubt about it. And we have to admit that and embrace that and live that and know that's part of being a human, that when our loved ones and friends die, we are sad. However, this feast, this is the third now, third reason. Death is swallowed up in victory. Victory. Death is because of the understanding of this feast of the Assumption. This death is swallowed up in victory. So now, we not only have a beautiful solemnity on August 15th that talks about the Blessed Mother, but now we have hope, generosity, death swallowed up in victory. So the next time we go to a funeral and we are saddened, we look to God's graciousness to us and we see that death is swallowed up in victory, that our loved ones who have died are on their way to eternal life. So I try to give, so that's the assumption is the dogma of the church, is the teaching of the church, without a doubt. We know about Mary's, just to, you know, to kind of recap, Mary had no original sin. And so at the end of her earthly sojourn, that's the best way to say that, for the sleeping of Mary, that her body and soul was taken up into heaven as a promise to all of us that that's going to happen to us. Now we have the promise, the hope, the generosity of God, and that death is not the ending. It's not the end of the story. And it wasn't the end of the story for Jesus. And I always say that at Easter. You know, we always thought the end of the story was on Good Friday. It isn't. The end of the story is on Easter Sunday. And so, my friends, I thank you for allowing me to share a couple little thoughts here on the Assumption of the Blessed Mother. And I hope that this feast, although it's going to be celebrated on a Sunday this year, so it's not a holy day of obligation, it's part of our Sunday obligation, and hopefully all of our parishes will use the readings and the prayers for the Assumption of the Blessed Mother, which I believe we all the Catholic churches will. Especially in these difficult times that we're going through, the Assumption is one of the greatest feasts that reveal hope to all of us, where death is swallowed up in victory, and Christ is the victor, where we will be with him through eternity in the place prepared for us in the beginning of time. I hope you have a beautiful rest of the week. I hope you have a beautiful celebration of the Assumption. And I thank you for your kindness and your time with me today. God bless you.
Thank you, Monsignor. This is very inspiring, and you've used the word frequently, a very hopeful message that all of us can take. And as we celebrate the Feast of the Assumption on August 15th, remind ourselves of the hope that this feast gives to us. And to all those who are on the call, thank you for joining in, and join us next month on the first Wednesday for the next call. Have a great day.